Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, April 17th. Teachers rallied at the state capitol yesterday, asking for more money for K-12 schools and opposing some changes being proposed to public employee pensions. Benta Berkland has the story.
Michelle Pearson works at Century Middle School in Thornton. She was the Colorado Teacher of the Year in 2011.
We cannot continue to support quality education on the string that we're doing it right now. We have unfilled jobs. We cannot support our kids.
Colorado schools are still facing a shortfall, even though lawmakers put quite a bit more money into schools this year. Republican Senate Majority Leader Chris Hulbert says the funding is adequate.
We are, for the seventh time out of the 8 years that I've been here, increasing the amount of money that we're giving.
A bipartisan bill to stabilize public pensions is also under consideration, but there's still a lot of disagreement on how it will ultimately look, especially around issues such as defined contributions. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Colorado residents who are concerned about their private data in the wake of the recent Facebook incident might want to turn to their local officials for help. Eric Galatis has more.
As Congress considers remedies for large-scale privacy breaches by Cambridge Analytica and Facebook, a recent report suggests that local municipalities could play a key role in protecting consumers. The American Civil Liberties Union study says if cities and counties build out their own broadband networks, they could ensure privacy protections and keep the internet open for all residents who depend on access for health care, employment, and other essential services. Jay Stanley is the report's lead author.
The internet's really become a necessity in our lives, like water and electricity. And if you don't have control over your internet because some faraway company is giving you bad service and it's the only choice, that's a big problem, not only for you personally, but it's a failure of democracy.
Last year, Congress repealed privacy regulations that prohibited internet providers such as Verizon and Comcast from selling users' data without their consent. The FCC also repealed net neutrality rules that prohibit companies from creating slow lanes for specific content. Critics of municipal broadband say it would create an uneven playing field for industry because cities already own the land needed to lay fiber and cite the high costs of building out systems from scratch. More than 20 state legislatures, including Colorado, have passed bills backed by telecom groups restricting or banning municipal broadband. Stanley admits creating a network is a big commitment, but he says his research shows that hundreds of counties, cities, and towns across the U.S. have found the investment has paid off with faster service and lower rates.
They can do it the same way that cities do with sewer systems and electric systems and with sidewalks and roads. And cities know how to do long-term infrastructure investments. They know how to finance them and they know how to build them.
Stanley adds local governments charged with serving all residents are also in a better position to connect traditionally underserved communities, including rural areas, low-income neighborhoods, and communities of color. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Colorado's annual legislative session is nearing its end on May 9th. In our weekly Capitol Conversation, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about some of the major pieces of legislation lawmakers are still working on.
Joining us today, we have Jesse Paul with the Denver Post and Brian Eason with the Associated Press. Only a few weeks left this session and still some top priority items they want to accomplish.
Absolutely. Really, the two biggest priorities heading into the session are still outstanding. We still don't have a transportation funding bill that's been agreed to by both sides, and we still don't have a compromise on what to do about the public pension, which has a $32 billion unfunded liability. And that's by the most optimistic estimates of how bad the debt is. So really a whole lot, as usual, actually, a whole lot is coming down to the wire at the State House.
And how likely do you think it'll be that those accomplishments will happen?
That's a great question. I mean, I don't think either side wants to end this session without a deal on these two issues. The pension especially, it's just going to cost more and more the longer they put this off. And we've seen that over the last 8 years without them acting on this issue. And I don't think people want to go to voters this fall without something to tell them that they accomplished either. But, you know, these are two complicated issues that folks are far apart on, so it'll be interesting to see whether they can pull it together.
Jesse, What are you tracking?
So right now, kind of in the waning days of the session, all of a sudden the gun issue has popped up again, specifically this idea of a red flag law, which would essentially make it so judges in certain crisis situations could take guns away from people who law enforcement, prosecutors, or family members identify as being either a threat to themselves or others. Now, this is something that's been kind of waiting in the wings here for a couple of weeks. There's been off and on discussion about it since the high school shooting in South Florida at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. But now all of a sudden, this is really starting to come to a head, specifically because Lieutenant Governor Donna Lynn mentioned at a gubernatorial debate that the Hickenlooper administration, that the governor's administration was considering an executive action on this policy. But now there's some work going on in the legislature with some Democrats and potentially some Republicans to try and get this pushed through. But what remains to be seen is if there's Republican support for such a bill in the Senate. That's the only way that it could actually get passed onto the governor's desk.
The governor talked to the media about this issue, and it seemed like he wasn't willing to commit one way or the other.
Right. Hickenlooper has said that he's on board with the concept in general, but in terms of actually committing to whether or not he was going to do an executive action, he's kind of punted that right now to the legislature. So what remains to be seen is if there's enough time to get such a contentious policy debate passed on to him, especially when there is this partisan divide. We've seen over and over again this year in the legislature that Republicans have tried to loosen gun restrictions in Colorado and make it more possible for people to use deadly force and carry weapons in different places. So the idea that they would be on board with the piece of legislation that's so contentious, despite the fact that there is national support on this gun issue from Republicans, remains to be seen. It's a huge question that's going to go before the legislature with less than 30 days left here. So it's going to be a big policy debate, potentially the biggest one of the session.
Lots of things to pay attention to in these final few weeks. Thanks. That was Jesse Paul with the Denver Post, Brian Eason with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland, and this was Capital Conversation.
And finally today, in a press release, the Colorado Department of Transportation announced that a resurfacing project next week will cause delays on Highway 133. The work will begin about 12 miles east of Hotchkiss and will continue east to the intersection with Gunnison County Road 12, Kebler Pass. The project will consist of resurfacing the road, shoulder and guardrail improvements, and repairs to five bridges located within the project zone. Crews will work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, starting Monday, April 23rd. Traffic will be reduced to a single lane, both east and westbound, with possible delays expected to last 15 to 20 minutes. The speed limit will be reduced to 35 miles per hour, and fines in the project zone will be doubled. The project is expected to last until October. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.